Welcome, welcome. Worship with all your heart. God is here and He will meet you in this place.
Let us pray together. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, all of our days are held in your hands. How fortunate we are. We come today with grateful hearts for all you have done for us, especially during this Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Light of the World. We pray for all those around the world who are seeking for answers to life. We pray they may find the answer of life in you, O Lord. We call upon you today to forgive us our sins and shortcomings when we place ourselves above you. You are the Father of light, giver of light through your Son, Jesus, and yet we dictate how life should be sent. We look for kings and leaders with power. You sent angels announcing the birth of a child. We hold our light close to us so the world will see our own silhouette and think how awesome we are. You tell us to hold out the light so the world may see your awesomeness. We surrender our light to you. Father of light in the darkness, Father of light in the darkness where there appears to be no hope, Father of light in the darkness where there appears to be no hope, we pray that you will break forth in beauteous heavenly light illuminating our way. We pray for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one this year and are facing this holiday season without them. Lord, show them your comfort and warmth through your Holy Spirit. Where there is darkness and discomfort this season, let us see that in you all our needs are met. We especially pray for the children who are baptized today. You tell us that whoever receives a child in your name receives you. Lord, help us to pray for them and nurture them in their faith. We pray that Julia, Elisa, Sophia Yee will grow up to be women of faith, and that Trevor Hill, Troy Mita, Teo Luciani, and Matthew Nye will grow up to be men of faith. Set them apart to know your glory. You are the great potter. Make them, mold them, use them, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Guide them, lead them, and walk beside them. Teach them, O Lord. And now we continue in prayer together as we sing.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for. Oh!
Would you pray with me? Lord, we've been so moved by so much that is going on this morning with the beautiful Lord's Prayer and the amazing baptism of all of these children who love you. Just be with us now. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you, I know, are back row kind of people. How many of you, when you walk into a large, you know, room and you're going to listen to somebody speak, go in the back? I'm expecting the back. You can't raise your hand. Oh, you're in the front because you have to be, right? Because your child was baptized. But how many of you are back that you like to slip into the back row? You know, you can't be Presbyterian unless you're a back row person. Well, I'm a back row person, too. I like to sit in the back. I don't like to be on stage. I kind of like to just observe. And I know some of you, you like to sleep and text during the service. Just to let you know, this is not that big of a room. I can actually see you, but it's okay. You can live in the delusion of safety back there. But Joseph was that kind of a guy. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph. I want to talk to you a little bit about him today because he's sort of in the background, in the back row. You know, with the Christmas story, as we traditionally tell it, he isn't somebody that we know too much about historically. And so that, you know, we think a lot about Mary and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, but not too much about Joseph. So I want to talk about Joseph because Joseph was a light to the world. He did some pretty remarkable things, and we can infer a lot about him by what we do know, sort of, you know, reading between the lines. So how many of you have a little, I'm going to ask you several questions, so just get ready to raise your hand, a little nativity set at home with the little figurines in them. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you how you can decipher whether or not your nativity scene is a Catholic one that was made by Catholics or by Protestants. All right. So when you go home, you can check this out. There are two traditions of thought in Christian history about who Joseph was, and the Catholic thinking is that, and this is based on ancient texts that are not in the scriptures per se, that he was actually very elderly when he married Mary. And this is because, these ancient texts tell us, Mary was raised in the court of priests, and the priests loved Mary so much that when she got to be about 12 years old, she coming into puberty, the priests wanted her to have more of a father figure than an actual husband, so they found Joseph, who had been married before to another woman, and that's why Jesus has brothers and sisters, that's how the Catholics understand it, and they say, Joseph, would you watch over Mary, take care of her. And so Joseph took Mary as his wife, but he was a very elderly man. And this explains, of course, the Immaculate Conception as the Catholics understand it. And the story unfolds from there. Now, the Protestants of the Protestant Reformation said sola scriptura. That was one of the things that they said, which means scripture only. We're only going to go by what scripture says. And so they dismissed those ancient texts. And from the Protestant perspective and how we think about Joseph is that he was young. He was younger. So you can go home and look at your nativity set and take a look at Joseph's face. And if he's older, it's probably a Catholic nativity set. Keep it. Don't get rid of it. No, it's good. It's good. Or if he's younger, you know, it was probably made by Protestants. So I just wanted to give you a point of reference there. In the movie that we're going to show in McCaddy Hall after the service, you will see that the movie The Nativity has Joseph depicted as younger. And I want to show you a clip from the movie right now. It's historically very accurate. We're coming in after Mary has come back from visiting Elizabeth, all right? She went to visit Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, And Mary's been gone for 3 to 4 months. She comes back showing that she's pregnant. And her parents are distressed because the punishment for that kind of looseness was public humiliation, shame, and stoning. So her parents ream her out. And now as we come in to this part of the clip, Joseph steps forward. And here it is.
Let me speak.
Joseph.
Do you know the reason I chose you, Mary? I believed you were a woman of great virtue. I have lived my life seeking honor. Honor. Mary, so how am I to answer this? If I claim this child is mine, I will be lying. I will have broken a law laid down by God.
I would never ask you to lie.
If I say this child is not mine, they will ask what I want to do. And if I accuse you,
there is a will for this child, greater than my fear of what they may do.
I will make no accusation. Without that, there can be no trial.
You have shown great mercy, Joseph. For that I will be thankful.
Let me speak.
Okay, I don't know. I had a little trouble hearing the audio. I don't know if you did. Could you hear that? He basically says at the end there, you can see the hurt in his eyes, I'm not going to bring any charge against you. And that way there can't be any public humiliation or shame. But you see how hurt he is, and I imagine that's exactly how he felt under the circumstances. And yet, the first point I want to make is Joseph was a light because he extended the gift of grace to Mary. You can see on the bookmark that's in your bulletin, and it's got the scripture on it, that Joseph decided under these circumstances that he would divorce Mary quietly. And you might want to ask, well, why did he need to divorce Mary when they were just engaged? You know, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But he had to divorce her because back in the ancient world, engagement was legally binding, even though the marriage was not consummated during the first year of the engagement period. So you can see, as I said, how hurt he was. And does Joseph believe Mary's story? No way. Her story was just as unbelievable then as it would be now. And I just want to say today, if you are a doubter, so was Joseph at the beginning, and God used him anyway. You know, some of the things we say here on Sunday morning, you may think to yourself, you know, I just can't fully believe that yet. I'm not there. I don't understand. And I just want to assure you, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes people have a hard time with the virgin birth. I believe in the virgin birth because I figure if scientists can clone from a cell, God can do even greater things. But if you're not there, just keep following Jesus. Keep immersing yourself in the scripture. And some of these things that you're not sure about, if you doubt, God will be faithful to you and reveal it to you. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And it did with Joseph as well. So in his doubt, Joseph is hurt, angry, disappointed, and embarrassed. The law of Moses was very clear, Deuteronomy 22, 23, 24. You shall bring both of them, Deuteronomy says, the man and the woman who transgressed, and stone them. And usually the stoning was public. And there's nothing ambiguous about that in the law of Moses. Even though he's feeling so down and betrayed, instead of publicly humiliating Mary, bringing charges against her, he is going to take the blame instead. So in other words, it would be his fault. He would stop the relationship with Mary, and then she could go and marry the man that had made her pregnant. This is what he's thinking. So that there would be no humiliation, and he would take blame for breaking off the relationship. It foreshadows a little bit about of what Jesus did for us, doesn't it? Takes the blame. It also harkens back to the Joseph of the Old Testament. Remember the technicolor dream coat guy back then? He forgave his brothers when they transgressed against him. The first time Scripture uses the word forgiveness is in that story of Joseph. There's many parallels between the Old Testament Joseph and the New Testament Joseph. And in the same way, Joseph, Jesus' foster father, or earthly father, does not press charges against Mary. He is the earthly father of the greatest forgiver for all humanity for all time. So, of course, Joseph's grace toward Mary tells you a lot about his heart of compassion. And especially in the midst of hurt and disappointment. When I am hurt and disappointed, that's the worst time to expect grace from me. My kids will say, oh, mom's in a bad mood. Steer clear, right? Because I'm not about to give grace to them. But just ask yourself during this Christmas time, when things are so rushed and harried, who do you need to give grace to today? Maybe it's the person in the cubicle next to you who's driving you crazy. Maybe it's the spouse who's let you down. Maybe this person that's lied to you. But grace givers prevent the behavior of others from hardening their heart. We need to continue to give grace. So whoever it is, the world longs for grace and forgiveness, and you can give that gift this Christmas. The second reason why Joseph was a light was because he gave the gift of God's guidance to his family. Joseph was able to give guidance to his family because he was so in tune with God's guidance. That night in a dream, the angel comes to him and says, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, or Yeshua would save his people from their sins. So here's another parallel with the Old Testament Joseph and the New Testament Joseph. God speaks to both of them in dreams. In dreams, if you know the story of the Old Testament Joseph, much of the guidance that Joseph got was in dreams, and it made his brothers so mad at him, they tried to kill him. Same thing here with the New Testament Joseph. And you know, dreams are weird things. I have dreams and I only remember parts of them. And I'm kind of like, oh yeah, you know, that was kind of a strange thing that happened while I was sleeping, you know. And yet, Joseph never said, oh, that was just a dream. Or it was just my imagination. He doesn't even ask questions or say, I can't do this. This is crazy. He immediately takes Mary to be, even though she's already pregnant. And he knew people wouldn't understand it. It would expose him to a lot of shame and gossip. Many people will say to me, I want to do the will of God, but I wish he would make it clear. I don't know what God's will is. Well, let me tell you something. God's guidance is not always clear. You know, when you watch the movie, The Nativity, there's a scene where it's right on in the screen where the Jewish children are reciting a story from the Old Testament. The story is about the prophet Elijah and how Elijah was seeking God. And you'll hear them say, oh, God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the thunder. He was in a still, small voice. Still, small voice. So that's usually how guidance from the Lord comes. It's in a still, small voice. It doesn't come in a huge, booming voice. It's not like sky riding across the sky. Doesn't come like that. It's often a quiet thing, like in a dream or something someone says or a desire of our heart or a sense of call or a scripture that keeps coming to us again and again. And the thing about it is, usually it's something we can ignore if we want to ignore it. And that's why it's important to learn to respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, even if it might not be totally clear. Take it seriously, and after praying about it, take a step in the direction that you think perhaps God is calling you to go. Even if you're not sure, just give it a try. Pray about it, then trust God, check in with other Christians, get their prayer support, and move forward again. And gradually, as you move forward in faith, it will become more and more clear to you. As we move in faith, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts about what is right as we learn to trust and decipher that still small voice. Joseph then, to his credit, does not ignore the dream. He could have, because it was a pretty dicey situation he was committing himself to. But immediately, without question, he takes Mary as his wife. So, give the gift of following God's guidance this Christmas. The world needs it. Maybe somebody needs your advice, and you're called to pray for that person and discern for them. Or maybe you're being asked to go somewhere and do something that's out of your comfort zone. And Joseph was certainly asked to do that. Give the gift of God's guidance. Be a light, either by following it yourself or giving it to someone else. And then finally, number three, Joseph was a light because he gave the gift of himself in complete surrender to God's purposes. Maybe some of you have heard the expression, we won hands down. Have you ever heard that, you know, this person won it hands down? That actually comes from racetrack culture, where when the jockey was so far ahead of the rest of the pack, he would let go of the reins and cross the finish line, not even holding on, and he put his hands down. Which means, really, that when we drop our hands and let go of the reins, our want for control, essentially, we allow God to take over, that victory is assured. So every time we read about Joseph, his posture all through the birth narratives of Jesus was a posture of surrender. Now, I struggle with surrender personally. I want things a certain way. I like to be in control. My way sometimes is the highway. And sometimes it also seems in our culture that when we surrender, when we have that posture, it's more of a loss, that we've lost something. But really, surrender, we've lost the battle, or something like when you surrender in battle. But really, for Christians, surrender is an emptying out, a posture that lets God in, and a posture that is flexible and eager to bend to his will instead of holding onto my own. And when I'm surrendered and I'm dependent on God and not myself, things start to happen, but it's very hard to do. It's like a friend of mine whose name is John, and he has a blind buddy, Mike. And every time John brings Mike somewhere, Mike asks John to be his eyes. And he says, what is going on? He'll bring him into a room of friends. And John has to explain to Mike, because Mike doesn't know. And the same way with us, we can't always see what God is doing in our lives. We may pray that prayer many times in our life. God, what is going on? Illuminate me. And I'm sure that Joseph prayed this prayer many, many times. The girl he's engaged to becomes pregnant. Don't you think Joseph looked up and said, what is going on? What are you doing, God? And God tells him, marry this pregnant woman. Her child is of the Holy Spirit. And he does it, surrendering his will to God's will, even when he doesn't understand. And when he takes Mary to Bethlehem for the tax, she has this baby in a cave out back where the animals are kept. And Joseph must have been incredibly responsible for this child because, you know, angels had spoken to him about this son. And he has to lay this child in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. And I don't know about any of you who are parents, but Tim and I tried to get pregnant for a really long time. We couldn't. And then early in our 30s, we had this beautiful baby boy, Chris. And I remember holding him in my arms and thinking, you know, I want this kid to have everything. And we went back to our little tiny apartment because we were both still at school at the time. And I thought, oh, I wish this baby could have his own room. And I want him to have a big yard where he can go outside and play. And I want him to have everything that he can possibly have. And I wonder if Joseph didn't have some of those same feelings, too, putting Jesus in a manger, in a feeding trough. And maybe he looked up and asked God, what is going on? Couldn't you have found a better place? Couldn't you have found a better place for your son to be born? Well, Joseph's not thinking about the prophecy being fulfilled that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Herod had heard that there was a child then who was to be born and be king, and he got really threatened by that and was going to kill all the two-year-old boys and under. So again, Joseph is asked by an angel in a dream to take Jesus to Egypt so that he can be safe. And again, this parallels the Old Testament Joseph, the New Testament Joseph. They both bring their families to Egypt so that their families can be safe and secure. And for Joseph, Jesus' dad, in the midst of that foreign land of Egypt with a different language and culture, living in a place he hadn't planned to live with no relatives and no support, trying to survive as best he could with a young child and wife, I'm sure Joseph looked up to God and asked, God, what is going on? Illumine me. When can we go home? I don't know what's going. I didn't know it was going to be this hard, you know, when I signed up for this. I can't see what you're doing in the big picture, God. I'm simply following you the best that I can. I've surrendered everything to your plan and purpose. So I just want to say, if you're in a situation in your life today where circumstances have not lined up the way you'd hoped for, and if you're looking up to God and you're praying that prayer, God, what is going on? Illumine me. Remember Joseph and continue to give the gift of grace. Continue to seek God's guidance and continue to work on surrendering to God's plan, even when you can't fully understand it all or see it clearly. And if you do those things and you stay the course, if you become a Joseph, you will begin to see God at work. Being a light in this dark world is never easy, but God will never let you down. One of my favorite phrases is, the will of God will never take you where his grace cannot keep you. So just to close up the story, eventually Joseph sees an angel in another dream that says, okay, it's safe now, you can go back to your homeland. And he ends up bringing Jesus to Nazareth, Mary's hometown, and raises Jesus there. And Joseph was a carpenter and worked with his hands, and he taught Jesus how to do that too. He probably worked in a town called Sepphoris, which was about an hour's walk from Nazareth, because Nazareth was just a small little suburb and didn't really have a whole lot of work available. And probably as Jesus was growing up, as he got a little older, he'd walk with Joseph for an hour to Sepphoris and then an hour back, and I can just see them talking. And Joseph made sure that Jesus knew the scriptures, and he made sure to take him to the synagogue and to the temple. But it was a simple, surrendered life, one that didn't particularly stand out as great or as noteworthy. I am sure that Joseph never thought that 2,000 plus years later, people would be sitting here learning from his example. And I'm sure that he never considered the fact that in his obedience to God's guidance, in his pursuit of grace, and in his surrender to God's plan, he actually saved and preserved the life of the one Jesus who would save and preserve us all. So what I'd like you to do is this Christmas, whenever you see a Christmas gift, remember Joseph. Often we think of Jesus. You can think about Jesus too, but think about Joseph too. And the way he gave gifts. Remember him as someone who gave his light away by giving the gifts of grace and guidance and surrender. And just like Joseph, you can say when you see a Christmas gift, I'm a giver of the gift of grace, a light to the world, illuminating who Jesus is. So as we close, we're going to sing the song, I Surrender All. And as you sing this, if you've been praying that prayer, God, what is going on? What is going on in my life? Illumine me. Maybe just sing these verses in faith, trusting the God who is our light to illumine things to you when the time is right, and surrender to his will and purpose for you, just like Joseph. God is good and his grace is sufficient. He will meet you as you go out from this place. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Bless you.